This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
You've reached another Joy 94.9 podcast.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. And the best way to get there is through Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Mardi Gras Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek. Hide and seek. Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. And a big thanks to the Chicks Talking Footy. You're with myself, Tim Little, and I'm joined by the lovely Ben.
Hello, how you doing?
Welcome.
It's our first show together for the year.
So I know. Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, me too.
We have lots of people in the studio.
A group, you could say.
We have a group. We are talking relationships tonight. Ooh. Now, LGBTIQ and now A has been added to our lovely rainbow families. Mm-hmm. Don't actually have a defined institution, you know, the same way that straight people do. So we do have the freedom to define and create relationships in any way we like. And on tonight's show, we're exploring many different types of relationships. What are the challenges? What are some things that they just would or wouldn't do? And how they treat each other. And we've got a few guests tonight to represent the different styles, if you like, of a relationship.
Excellent.
Yes. How have you been, Ben?
I've been good. Now, I saw you marching on Sunday.
I did.
You looked lovely in your little outfit.
Thank you.
It was a great day, wasn't it?
I got so sunburnt.
Oh, no. Yeah, I was sunburnt watching from under a shady tree, so yes.
I got sprayed with sun cream. I have to finish that sentence, otherwise it wouldn't have sounded very good, although we could probably get away with it after 9 o'clock. But I got sprayed with sun cream, and I don't think it rubbed in.
Uh-huh.
So, as you can see, my face is a little bit peachy.
A little bit pink, yes.
It was lots of fun, though, and the crowd were amazing, as usual. And, of course, our wonderful Joy presenters were broadcasting live, doing a great job.
I want to do it next year.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Share your thoughts. Email onair at joy.org.au. Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949. And connect with your community.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. You're with myself, Tim Little, and Ben.
Hey.
Hello. And we have many, many have guests here in the studio. We're a full house tonight. Hello to Nick.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And you're presenting the open and monogamous relationships tonight.
Yes, I've been in both.
And you said that you had a look at the Dragathon as well. We just mentioned it earlier.
Oh, yeah. I was saying that's a bit like the airport baggage claim. There was just drag queens coming in and coming out. And you're right. At the beginning of the night, it was very graceful, a bit Pan Am. And then by the end of the night, it was like, shuffle them out of here carrying IKEA bags, just dragging them onto the street,
just trying to get off there.
Pretty drag-tastic.
Yeah. I don't blame them. And we're also joined by Ben and Taylor tonight as well.
Good evening. Good evening.
And so basically the reason that we decided to do this little show was there was a periodic survey that went out in 2016. And basically, 23% of all gay men surveyed reported having casual sex. 30.6% claimed they were monogamous, or maybe lying to themselves, who knows. And 51.2% actually said that they had sex outside of their relationship. So on tonight's show, we wanted to explore the different types of relationships that we have in our wonderful rainbow families. And the LGBTIQ and now A groups. So, Nick, please tell us, you're recently single, but yes, you've been in both open and monogamous relationships.
Yes, I've been in both open and monogamous relationships and relationships that started off monogamous and then returned to open. So I've got kind of a full spectrum as far as my own personal experience, which I think gives me a pretty valid opinion on it.
And so what works for you?
You know, I think we were chatting about this a little bit before the show, and just, you know, especially as you get older and the more relationships that you get into, you reprioritize your values in a relationships and the things that are really important to you. And I think often when you find things that don't work, it helps you identify very clearly what it is, what works for you and what you're looking for in a relationship. And I think a long time ago, I decided that fidelity wasn't as important as certain things like respect and safety.
And trust.
Mm. Yeah.
And I would have thought that you would be, say, monogamous for an entire relationship, or no, not the case?
I have been in the past.
Yes.
And I think I would be open to it, but it would just depend on some variables, and it would just depend on the person. And
mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't think that I could say for certain that I will always be wanting to be in an open relationship.
Yeah.
But I can say almost for certain that monogamy just really hasn't been something that's fit with my personality as I've gotten older.
And to that point, Ben, you're currently in a family, if you like. You have multiple partners.
It virtually needs a flowchart to work your way around it.
Some of us can't find one partner, and you've got several. My goodness, what's your second?
I know, and I think that's probably one of the words that's good to pinpoint is partner. Like, you don't necessarily think in terms of boyfriend or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's partners, it's dynamics, it's connections. And every person that's involved in my life, I have a very unique connection with them, and the dynamic is very different to everyone else that's in my life. So,
sure.
You know, there are pups in my life, there's a boy in my life, there's, you know, other kind of like connections that range everywhere from, you know, something that's virtually entirely sexual to something that is not sexual at all, but they are all definitely partnerships in one way or another.
So I was just going to ask. So if you've got several partners, is the relationship always defined? So is it a conversation that you have like where this, where that? I think sometimes in a relationship, it's hard to know where you stand when dating and things like that. So is this something that you discuss with all these partners?
That does, and you know, it's something that Nick just said. You know, priorities change. That needs and what you want out of something can change. And, you know, in each relationship, in each dynamic, you know, there has been one that was actually pretty much a fixed term thing,
mm-hmm.
because I knew this guy is moving overseas. I knew that at his age, moving to the UK for the first time, getting out of the country, there was no way I was going to send him over there and be like held back to something here.
Yep.
He needs to get over there and spend 2 years,
doing what you do.
Mm-hmm. Doing what you do at that age. But nevertheless, like, the dynamic was really important and still is, but it changes because, you know, what's going on in your life at the time can change. So, yeah, there's discussions that happen. There's definitely an awareness and honesty about what's going on with everyone involved. And everyone knows each other. Everyone gets along together. It's quite often done more in a one-on-one sense rather than, you know, four or five
together
in a bed.
Yep. Right.
And then there's also, you know, a dynamic, say, with Taylor, who's here with me now, as one of my pups, has his own pups, has, you know, romantic aspirations of his own, which don't necessarily involve me, which is where I start to talk about the flowchart. You know, it's just like, you know, the connections that everyone has, it does become quite like the family.
Sure.
And everyone has a relationship to a point, and some of them are rooted, so to speak, within me. Some of them are centered around Taylor. Some of them, but it is like a larger dynamic that, you know, goes beyond one person.
And to Ben's point earlier, do you have any defined boundaries in these relationships?
We're all sluts.
Okay.
Yeah.
that in itself is about that says
it's
something.
A very loose boundary.
It's a very loose boundary, but it's a very honest. It's a very, you know, the ultimate ideal is that we all feel protected. We all feel safe, as in safe to express ourselves. You know, we range through all kinds of like HIV status. We range through all sorts of, you know, not so much to a monogamous kind of situation in any situation. I don't think with any of us, but you know, we all have our different boundaries in our own lives, and we work together in those, and they just seem to work together.
We've both mentioned that, and I think that it comes down, safety is kind of a blanket term. You know, safety isn't just about physical safety. You know, it's about emotional safety. Mm. It's about the safety to be able to communicate things. It's about feeling safe to say, this is how I felt then, but this is how I feel now, and being able to feel safe that you can talk about those things instead of either having to put it in its own closet, or feel like you have to do something behind someone else's back. You don't want to feel compelled to do that. You should feel compelled to be honest and have that trust that you mentioned, Tim.
So to that point as well, when you are in a relationship, just the ability to be able to say, okay, well, I'm interested in exploring this. You might not necessarily be into it, but you decide whether to proceed or not. But actually have that safety to actually say that to your partner.
Well, but I think both or more partners have the choice.
No, sure.
I mean, theoretically, nobody's forced into being in their relationship unless they feel forced to stay in that relationship. But everybody does have that choice.
Sure.
And if the relationship, you know, from the beginning of a relationship or as a relationship changes or as more partners get added to it, at some point, if this is no longer the relationship that you want to be in, you can tap out.
Mm. Sure.
You have that choice. There's no reason that you have to sit there and continue to fight for something that isn't working for you.
Definitely. And look, Ben, what are some of the challenges that you've had, obviously, balancing people in a bed is one.
It can be like that, yeah.
What are some of the challenges of being with multiple partners?
I think one of the big and one of the really obvious ones can be possessiveness and jealousy. Mm. I think, you know, there really needs to be a way that there needs to be a point where you reach where you understand that, okay, there are other people involved. Other people may be coming into this in the future, either directly connected to me or into, you know, one of my partner's lives, because, you know, I would not expect them to do something that I would not be prepared to do, or, you know, whatever. To actually be able to accept that, to actually be able to support that and actually encourage that for them to find their own personal journeys as well, which can then, again, mean finding a way to support them out of the relationship so that, you know, as I said, the guy that's moving overseas, to support him and know that he can leave and be still supported in a new life, that he's not losing his support network, but he's no longer necessarily part of the relationship. You know, it's kind of like working out how this connection can work without being possessive in any way or without, you know, feeling like you're being left out when someone moves on.
Nick, as someone who is a single man who is open to both open and monogamous relationships, do you necessarily go with a certain choice, or does it really depend on the partner?
I think it all comes down to the partner, absolutely. I think there's some people that aren't emotionally mature enough to deal with an open relationship or a polyamorous relationship or a relationship of any sort of flexibility. I think there's some people that do need to be in a monogamous relationship and they need to develop in that. And I think that's where sometimes very commonly gay relationships will start off monogamous, and then after a few years, then they kind of have a discussion, or they start to open their relationship together, and maybe that, you know, that leads to other things. But I think that a lot of people need that monogamous foundation to start off with, and they can start to branch off from there. But it really does come down to emotional maturity, because I think that there's a lot of responsibility that comes with being in an open relationship. It's not just about, hey, let's go on and get it on with whoever we want. It's not just about, and it's not about sex, like Ben was saying before. There's some parts of some relationships that actually don't have sex as a component to it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, it would be a challenge, for want of a better word, to balance everyone's needs, especially with, you know, the number of partners, just making sure that everyone is happy in the situation. What do you do to ensure that that's the case?
I think to a point, everyone does need to take a certain level of responsibility for their own self-care. Yeah. And everyone else involved in the dynamic also needs to respect that. We can reach out, and, you know, there's part of our dynamic that, you know, there are times when it's just like, okay, I just need to retreat because I'm having a really hard time. Whereas the rest of the family or the menagerie or whatever you want to call it are all like desperately there trying to support, but someone will retreat. And we've all done that at different times in our lives. Sure. We've all done that even as part of like our current setup, that it's just like, okay, I need space. I'm not ready to talk. So everyone does need to sort of like take a certain level of responsibility in their own self-care. I guess where I fit largely in the dynamic, because I think most of my connections are fairly sort of DS, dom sub kind of connections. You know, I set this point of being, or I fall into this place of being more of a protector, but that also means that I have to fall into a point of really respecting their need to pull away at times. And yeah.
and feeling like that it's okay to withdraw, okay to take time for yourself and not feel like, oh, if I don't participate, then that means I'm not interested in you anymore, or something's, you know, fading in this relationship. Sometimes people can have the choice, again, back to choice, have the choice to say, I would like to participate in this, or no, that's really not for me, or right now I'm not really feeling like this, but I'll, you know, permissibility as well, saying it's okay for you to do this, I just don't want to be a part of this.
And that sort of, I think, applies from both sides, so that if I need space, then I need to actually make sure that I take that space.
Yeah, definitely. This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. We are talking the different types of rainbow relationships here tonight. If you want to get in touch with us, this is how you do it.
Have your say, share your thoughts, connect with your community. Email onair at joy.org.au. SMS 0427 joy949.
Hide and seek.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And on tonight's show, we are exploring different types of relationships. And we have George in the studio. How are you going, George?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, tell us all about your relationship.
I'm in an interesting relationship, I suppose. The current structure, as Ben said, flowcharts are always handy. Whiteboards, pens, you can sniff them if you need to. So I have a primary partner who's currently living in Sydney. I'm based in Melbourne. However, I'm sort of living between two cities. But it's an interesting dynamic. Currently we have three people that are, for a sense of term, slaves within our relationship. And we've also had partners that have been overseas as well. So it's a really interesting dynamic.
Interesting indeed. So did your primary partner, now were you with him first and then you sort of opened it up to all these slaves and whatnot? How did it all?
No. I was added to the mix. So when I met my partner, he was my master at the time.
Okay.
And the dynamic grew and we worked out that we loved each other. But at that time, he had a slave in his life for, I think, 14 or 15 years. Ooh. So I was very fortunate to be able to come into such an amazing dynamic.
And how was it coming into something that was already established?
It's really kind of cool because
Celebrity guest.
Well, see, it's interesting that you say that, because it's interesting because I won't name the slave because he has a right to privacy, uh-huh. but yeah, we'll call him Craig or Chad or whatever.
That sounds like a good slave name. This is my slave, Chad.
he doesn't quite match a Chad, but God bless him. I adore his... I really do love him. And he sort of... When we introduced a second slave, he was training the slave and he goes, you know what? Partners come and partners go. We stay. And that's true. When you have a slave, that they are actually devoted and they are very, very much an important, integral part of the relationship structures. So to, you know, I'm interested that I've been through the training of one slave and we're currently introducing a third slave. So it's a really wonderful learning experience.
So then do you have slaves under you, or how does it work in terms of the flowchart?
Don't even freaking start me on that.
Is it like selling Herbalife? Like I get a slave and then my slave gets a slave?
Trust me, there are no pearl necklaces available in this multi-level scheme. But I was really thrilled that we had one of the members was based in Melbourne, but he got employment in Sydney. And I was so sad because, oh my God, having Griff around was so wonderful. It was such an addition to my life. And so it would be lovely. I would love to have somebody else in my life down here. It gets a bit lonely being in Melbourne by myself when, you know, I've got one slave that's overseas and the two other slaves are in Melbourne, Sydney, yeah. and I'm in Melbourne. So, you know, I yearn to spend more time in Sydney as much as in Melbourne.
That was my next question, is geography. How much of a challenge is that? How often do you get to Sydney? And
look, I am in a job where I get paid ridiculous amounts of money to hand out common sense. So I'm very, very fortunate that I can fly around as much as I damn well like. And
right.
I'm a frequent flyer whore, and that works out well for me. So I will fly to Sydney more often than my partner will come to Melbourne,
right,
because it works easier that way. However, we have two households that we're managing. We have the household in Melbourne and we have the household in Sydney.
Yep.
And so far, it's working out really well.
So, considering you have, there's a few people in the family, are you monogamous within that group, or you can have sex outside of that group?
No. People are welcome to do whatever they damn well please with their bodies. And that's good one rule. Thing that I think part of being in a relationship is that it's not about possession. It's not about ownership. It's actually about being supportive, caring, and loving to somebody that you want to see succeed.
Yeah.
I want everybody that's involved in my life to succeed, and that's what I'm about. Whether it be that they have chosen to go towards the role of a slave, we still want the absolute best for people in a slave. My primary partner, I want the absolute best for him as well. So I'm supportive of his endeavors. He is amazingly supportive of my endeavors, and we work towards that.
So even though you're technically a slave, the mindset is not of a slave. It's more a nurturing mindset.
I'm not a slave.
Okay.
I'm my partner's partner. Jean is my partner. And
sure.
I came into that relationship when I was being trained as a pup.
Right.
But we learned and we knew that we had that special connection. So really we're on peers. We're a peer together. We consider ourselves on the same level, except if we're teaching or something like that, and then I will take on another role.
Sure.
But it's an interesting thing. If you look at people, like one of the teachers that I follow is Dr. Robert Glover. He wrote a book called No More Mr. Right Guy. And he actually talks about that it's important that everybody who's in a relationship has their own self and they have their own determination that they're heading towards something. And often when we look at relationships, some people will have these unusual covert contracts where they'll say things like, well, I was really nice to you last night, therefore you have to be nice to me. But they won't voice that.
Right.
And then they get frustrated and upset. When you're in a relationship that involves multiple people, you have to be very upfront and open about what you want.
Sure.
And it's important that you're clear about what you want and that you also have the chance to change your mind.
Sure,
you can
of course.
Always change your mind on what you want.
What are some of the challenges that you have being in that relationship?
Look, I've I think everybody who's in a relationship that involves multiple people has points of jealousy, has points of fear, where your self-esteem can be shaken, where you're going, oh, well, that, you know, one of the slaves is stunning. He's a big, muscular, very, very sexy man. And part of me is like, well, I'm never going to be big and muscular. Does that mean that somebody else is going to love me less? And it's not a finite game. Sure. We're actually playing with an infinite amount of energy and an infinite amount of love. And I think there is no sort of set with that. So what you can actually say is, that's about me. That's about my own self-esteem. And that's an opportunity for me to learn and to be able to say, I have so much to give and I have so much loving sides to me. You don't need muscles to be attractive to somebody. There's lots of different reasons that I'm attracted to people. It's not always about the physical.
Sure. And speaking of the physical as well, what have you learned sex-wise in this relationship, given that there are many different personalities, people from different backgrounds, different interests, different kinks perhaps?
Mm. What I've learned is that I learned how to do threesomes in a really shitty way.
Okay.
I grew up being the third party in threesome, so there was a couples, right?
Sure.
And so I always learned that you put your attention on person X and then you put your attention on person Y. But I'd never actually done it from a couple perspective.
Okay.
And then I actually had to relearn and learn about intimacy, and it's about everybody joining in a more of a circular fashion rather than a linear. This person points to that person, that person points to that person, and, you know, I owe that person one serve of hand hospitality and this person gets one serve of mouth hospitality. It just doesn't work that way. It's not a freaking bingo card.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It's about being present, being in the moment and enjoying the sensuality at the time. And this is a dynamic I am still learning, and I think we all learn that.
And how do you explain your relationships to people on the outside? So, for example,
good question.
Family who, you know, is your blood.
Look, I swear to God, my dad must look at my Facebook feed and go, what the frickin' hell is going on? When I separated from my partner many, many years ago, there were photos of me kissing so many different people on Facebook. People must think, God, he's a frickin' whore. And I say, fuck yeah, I'm down. I'm down for that. If people would like to sit down and learn about how my relationship works, they're welcome to come and ask me.
Sure, sure.
Feel free. I'm open.
Sure. Oh, I'm just wondering what the response has been from people on the outside.
One of my favorite responses is that my partner and I and a partner that we were with previously, we're all going to Hayman Island. And we were catching the boat across. And I remember Jean turned around to me and goes, next time we're bringing the help. Next time, we're not carrying shit. We're bringing the help. And this heterosexual woman across from me, she goes, you've got help? And we went, yes, don't you? And she's like, no. I want to know about this help. How does this work? And I said, well, we have slaves and they do shit for us. You know, we're currently looking for somebody who's big and strong who can carry stuff. Do you know anyone? And she was amazed. She was about to slap her husband down because she's like, why the fuck don't I have a slave? I'm sorry. It's past nine. I'm sorry for the F word.
That's right.
But she wanted one. That was her word, not mine. I'm just quoting.
That was a loaded question, wasn't it?
Maybe. But seriously, a lot of people look at what I have or look at other relationships models and they go, I don't understand this, but it's wonderful and it's amazing. You see these, I remember talking to heterosexual couples and wives who slap their husbands because they look at attractive women.
Mm.
It's like, what happens when you get married? Does somebody go and poke your eyes out? You don't suddenly go blind. There are still going to be attractive people around.
Why acknowledge
and say, oh no, I don't see anybody else. It's like, really?
Yeah.
It's like people who say they don't see a color. It's like, really? What's wrong with you?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think there's always going to be attractive people around and I'm happy to look if they're going to show.
Yeah. So managing jealousy is definitely a big part.
Absolutely. And it's about being not only honest with your partners, but being honest with yourself and to be able to say, I am feeling jealousy at the moment.
Sure.
And sometimes it can just be, I've had a really shitty day at work and I'm tired and I'm grumpy and I want somebody to love me.
Yeah.
And you want that hug. Mm. And that's okay to be able to say that. Sometimes the adult in you can look after the child in you. There's a wonderful psychiatrist in Melbourne who talks about child versus adult. And, you know, the kid in you is like, I want a hug and I've had a really shitty day and I want somebody to talk to.
Totally.
And you want that love. And the adult in you should be able to say, I understand you're feeling really shitty. Let's do something really nice and let's do that together. But you also get that with your partners as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, George, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight.
Absolute
pleasure.
Really
appreciate hearing about your relationship. And we have more up after the break. Keep it locked. This is Hide and Seek at Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
The hottest event on the LGBTIQ calendar is the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. And the best way to get there is through Joy.
Thanks to our Joy sponsors, Virgin Australia, who'll fly you there, Airbnb, who'll put you up for your stay, and GoGet, who'll drive you around in style.
Then have the time of your life celebrating the Money Grab Parade with a view money can't buy at the Joy 94.9 VIP broadcast.
An unforgettable experience you don't want to miss.
For a chance to win, donate $5 to Joy via joy.org.au.
Enter as many times as you like. There's no limits.
The more times you donate $5, the more chances you have to win.
But do it before Feb 17.
T's and C's apply. See joy.org.au.
The joy of summer.
The joy of Mardi Gras.
Joy 94.9.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And tonight we are talking about relationships. We've got myself, Tim Little, and Ben.
We sure are.
And multitudes of guests here in the studio tonight. And we do have another guest.
And one more.
On the line. Aram, are you there?
I certainly am. How are you going?
Very well. Aram, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight. Now, tell us about your relationship.
I feel like mine's less complicated after hearing some of the other things. If I was going to describe it, I guess I would say I am a gay trans man. I'm in a relationship with a cis woman who looks kind of femme, but secretly she's, well, maybe not so secretly now, she's really a gay man in disguise, I think. We have an open relationship currently. We've had moments of being in poly relationships before, but currently just open.
And did you start off in an open relationship?
Yeah, we did actually. Well, we kind of started in a more poly kind of context. I think I've had open relationships all my life. I don't know why. I was brought up to be a good Christian kid, and I grew up to only know how to do open relationships. So that's just kind of how I'm wired, and I'm really honest with people about that when I meet them.
And when you met Julie, were you trans then, or were you transitioning, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I transitioned more than 10 years ago now. So I've been my current self for a long time. So she met Boy Me, and hasn't known me as anything else.
And as a trans man, do you have challenges out in, socially, say, going to an all-boys event, for example?
Less so as a trans man, more so as a trans man with a female partner.
That's what I was referring to, yeah.
That's interesting. So, I mean, I guess, I suppose from challenges point of view, one of the interesting ones for us is that we're often kind of a bit invisible as people. So first glance at us, she looks like a girl, I look like a dude, we look like a straight couple. And that's a really long way away from how we identify and kind of how we are, I guess. So there's an interesting thing where we're in straight context and people think we're straight and we're like, no, we're not really like you. we're in some kind of queer context and people go, what are you straight people doing here? We're like, no, we belong here, really. So that can be kind of a bit just interesting to navigate, but as people get to know you, and particularly within the LGBTI kind of community, it's reasonably close-knit, people get to know you, so that gets easier as people get to know me and get to know my partner and know who we are. Certainly, I kind of wish that I could bring her out to all the all-boy events because that'd be kind of fun. But there are some events that are really great about making a slightly sneaky exception and letting her in. And she knows how to kind of fit in and stay out of people's way and is often more popular than me, which is a bit rude, frankly. But
I must say, I have shared the dance floor with you both and it has been a pleasure every time.
Yeah, I think she's friendlier on a dance floor than me. I get a bit distracted, but she's a bit more engaged with people around her, I think.
And within your relationship, do you have any boundaries that you've set which are, you know, absolute no-nos, you can't do this, or are you pretty relaxed?
Yeah, I think we, and the time that we've been together, lots of things have changed and shifted over time. And so we're both not incredibly rigid human beings, but believe in kind of checking in with each other all the time. So I think, you know, sometimes people think that having an open relationship or poly relationship means anything goes. We constantly check in around what we're comfortable with in that moment of time. And it shifts, you know, sometimes it shifts depending on how you're feeling or who the other person is or what's going on. So we check in with each other about what are you comfortable with? Are you comfortable with that person? We check in with each other about if we can ever agree on the same person that we're both into who might be into us. But so it's kind of just an ongoing conversation about where our limits might be, and they move around sometimes.
Sure. And you've got kids in the mix as well.
Yeah, I have a son, so this is maybe where the kind of flowchart starts getting a little bit more complicated. So I co-parent him with some other people who is not my partner.
Sure.
So there are four parents in his life, and he actually lives interstate. But I have the privilege of getting to be one of his daddies, which is fun.
Oh, that's great. And have you had to explain your relationship dynamics to your son?
He's pretty little at the moment, so currently he just knows that there's a whole bunch of adults that give him lots of love.
Oh, lovely.
Which is nice and simple. We spend much more time, I think, trying to explain the interrelationship of the adults to other adults who are trying to work it out and to his daycare and stuff like that. But I think as he gets older, he will just grow up with this kind of constellation of adults around him, and that will be what he knows. And as he gets older, you know, we'll have conversations about exactly how the people are related to each other or not. But I think it will always be what he's known from literally the day he was born. So should hopefully be his normal for him. It'll probably be the tricky bit will probably be him having to explain it to the people that he encounters. But I'm sure he'll work out what works for him as he goes.
Absolutely. And what are the things that you've learned from being in a poly relationship?
What have I learned? I think the previous people were talking about communication. I think it takes a lot of work, actually, and an open relationship in some ways is a lot simpler because you kind of have much more casual interactions with other people, and then you get to devote all your time and energy to your partner.
Sure.
I think once you start having more than one kind of ongoing, deeper relationship, just time is really tricky, actually, having enough time to devote between people and enough emotional energy, which is not because there's a finite amount of love that you're dividing up, but there is certainly a finite amount of hours. And so kind of managing that is really tricky. And I think sometimes people look at poly relationships and go, oh, that looks like fun. You get to have, you know, they think it's just kind of all about sex and just all about lots of fun times. And when you start stepping out, the amount of work involved in it, maybe a little less fun. It's worth it, but it does take some effort.
What's made it worth it for you? What's made it worth it for you?
Because I think humans are social creatures, right? And we get, you just kind of get, you can get so much joy and really interesting experiences and different things with different people. And so if you create the space to have a relationship with more than one person, however deep or not that relationship is, you get different experiences and you get to do different things. And it's also fun watching your partners interact with other people, I think, and see them have new experiences or, be head over heels in lust, all that kind of stuff. It's fun watching that sometimes when you're not you're not part of it.
I feel like speaking to everybody tonight that perhaps being in a sort of an open kind of relationship setting is probably a really great learning experience. I think you're going to learn a lot about yourself, a lot about people.
Seems to be, yeah, definitely. A lot about
communication. Yeah, I think there's a lot of pluses there and a lot to learn for people, I think.
What were you saying there?
Yeah.
I was saying a lot about communication. I think when you have the challenge that comes with any relationship, but especially, you know, a unique or dynamic or flexible relationship where you're dealing with multiple people, you are constantly reminded to check in with them. Mm. You know, think of it like checking in with your kids. You know, you're looking after this many people. It's not just about you. You're constantly checking in with them, and so you're constantly making sure that everybody's feeling happy and their needs are being met.
Mm, sure.
And I suppose the other point that is really, really important is that from age zero till adulthood, we're only ever fed the Disney version of relationships, whereas you meet the one person and then everything's happy ever after. You never see Snow White and Prince Charming fighting over the dishes or anything like that. So it's an opportunity to learn a whole new set of skills that extend well beyond the relationship. That it goes into people that I deal with at work. It goes into people that I deal with in the office, that I am able to use these skills throughout my life.
I guess that's the point that we made earlier is, as LGBTIQA people, we don't have a defined institution and a path that we are required to follow. Like getting married, having kids necessarily, you know, settling down, buying a house, all of those kind of things don't necessarily apply to everyone. So we can kind of carve out our own niche, if you will.
Well, society's told us we don't fit into that box, so we've created these circles of loves. So don't try to fit a circle back into a box if you've told us we can't fit in that box.
Oh, I love that one.
but this is an important thing, is that I know that there's been a lot of push towards marriage equity and stuff like that, and there are gay people who would like to get married. I would be perfectly happy with legal representation under the law, which is what I currently don't have.
Sure.
And I'm not sure whether marriage is the only way for people to be able to access that same legal rights that heterosexual people in marriages have.
That's a valid point as well. Well, this is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Indie Heads is up next. Thank you guys for coming into the show, and thanks, Aram, as well, for joining us on the line.
No, you're welcome. No problem.
We will catch you next week.
We shall. What are we going to do next week? We don't know yet.
Dean will have something amazing, I'm sure. This is Tim and Ben signing off. Stay tuned for Indie Heads up next.
Have your say. SMS 0427 JOY 949.
Email on air at joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.